Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we will hear from the family of Timothy Simpkins. The trial is finally over, and the family will speak for the very first time. We'll hear about the evidence never presented at the trial. We want to know, who is Timothy Simpkins? The complaints made to the school, the bullying, the fear Timothy was dealing with daily, the fight, the shooting, the trial, the verdict, and the sentencing. That's what we're talking about tonight. We have on the phone lines Katrina Robinson, Timothy's mother, Lisa Robinson, Timothy's aunt, and Tamika Grady, Timothy's cousin. Ladies, welcome to Let's Talk Fort Worth for the very first time. Let me open your phone lines. Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
Right here.
Hello.
Do I have everyone on the line?
Yes.
Do I have everyone?
Okay. Yes.
Let me see. Okay. I have a number that I'm checking the phone lines, the numbers, to make sure we've got everybody, that I'm not opening the wrong phone line. Okay. I have one number that I do not recognize. Ms. Katrina, are you calling it from a different number? I got your number, Ms. Robinson.
That will be.
Okay. Just making sure I got the right numbers. Okay, good evening, ladies.
Hello.
Good evening.
Well, I know y'all are breathing a sigh of relief just for a minute anyway that the trial is over. And a lot of people during the trial, I spoke with the mother in the pre-interview, and I'm getting a text from somebody that's saying, how can she listen? If you go to our Let's Talk Fort Worth page on Facebook, the link to the show is on there. All you need to do is click on the post itself, and the link is in there, and you will be able to listen to the show, or you can call in and listen via phone to that number that I gave you. That said, the trial is finally over, and we saw Timothy in the trial portrayed as a monster, a person who came to the school with a mission. Okay, somebody's got noise in their background. Do y'all know who that is? Who's got the noise in their background? Because that's going to throw everything off. Okay. So in the trial, they portrayed Timothy as somebody who came to the school that day with a mission, and that was to shoot someone. So can you all tell us who is Timothy Simkin for those who all we have is what we saw in the trial of who they portrayed him to be. So can you all tell us, because you all know him personally, who is Timothy Simkin? We'll start with you, Tamika. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. He's a young man that has, for the most part, he has been raised in a Christian home. He's fun. He's outgoing. He keeps to himself for the most part. If he doesn't, you know, if they're strangers or something like that, but he's a fun, outgoing. He has a sense of humor, and other than that, he kind of stays off to himself.
Okay. So he's somewhat shy. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say that he's shy. He's one of them. He's observant. He speaks when he's spoken to.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gotcha. So we understand.
I would say that. That's my opinion.
Okay. And listen, because there's more than one woman speaking, when you speak, if you would say which one of you it is, because on the phone I have Lisa Robinson and Tamika Grady, right? Is that who I have on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, gotcha. So just when you say something, if you would let them know which of you is speaking. Okay, I'm getting notes, y'all, as I'm trying to get over here. Somebody's sending me notes. But anyway, so tell us, Timothy never knew his father, from what I understand. His father died before he was born. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. This is Tamika speaking. Yes, ma'am. His father did pass away before he was born.
I understand it was a violent death as well.
Yes, ma'am. He was beaten to death in his home.
Okay. Because some of us speculated that if he was raised knowing that his father had been beaten to death, that would have heightened his fear with these threats that was being made, you know, against him, and the fact that he had been shot, that would have heightened his fears.
I agree 100%.
Okay. I was talking to someone about that, and I just couldn't imagine. I was thinking to myself, that must be something that would play out in your mind, you know, always about that. So we know that Timothy had been dealing with bullying. So can you tell us, was it just two people bullying him or multiple people bullying him? Who was bullying him? Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I just didn't know who was going to speak, but again, this is Tamika speaking. It was a group of boys that were bullying him. But the main characters were Zach's brother. He has a brother. And so yeah.
So Zach's brother, I understand his name was Isaiah. And so it was Isaiah and Zach Selby that was bullying Timothy and others. Is that about right? Okay, gotcha.
Correct.
So,
this is Lisa. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's correct. Okay, so we're understanding that the bullying had gotten so intense that you all had contacted the school about the bullying.
This is
Lisa.
Can
y'all tell
us? That's correct. Timothy, his grandmother, my mother, yes, made a report. She wasn't the only one that has made reports regarding, you know, Shelby, exactly, his name.
So
that's kind of being, like, swept under the rug.
Okay, so Selby, the one of the Selbys, had threatened and harassed other children.
Yes.
Am I understanding? Okay, gotcha. Okay,
yes.
So I'm getting the impression from the things that I'm hearing about the school that even though it's sitting in Mansfield, which you would think is a great community, that this school had a lot of problems, that there was a lot of violence going on at this school. Is that correct?
Yes.
We
don't know about all the violence, but we do know that they had a few situations at this school previously before this happened. We do know that.
Okay. So did Timothy at some point suffer PTSD from the stress of it all? Or since we're trying to understand, like, how stressful was this for him to be going to school every day and with fear of being jumped or not knowing what would happen? Was there some type of stress associated with that he was dealing with?
This is Tamika speaking. Now, this is my opinion. He went from a private Christian school that wasn't a small school. And he went into a complete different environment, which was more of a culture shock to him. Just like any other kid, they'll be trying to find their way at the age he is, also trying to find himself. So he was already grieving from some previous trauma throughout our family. We have lost a couple of people and things that went on throughout our family. So he already had personal grief going on within himself as well. So the adolescent mind and the adjustment of all that, yes, we definitely believe that also played a part in him being stressed throughout this period of time of trying to juggle the relationships with other students and his peers and just kind of blending in and then having that situation of being picked on. It's just would be a lot on a person of, of adolescent mind.
Gotcha. So tell us about the security at the school. Was there some type of security in place, metal detectors or anything like that, you know, security guards to protect the children?
This is Lisa speaking. No, from my understanding, it wasn't, there was no security.
That's crazy. So there's no security in place. So when all of these threats start coming in, did Timothy feel like, who did he feel he could go to once he got to school? If none of these fake cars was in place, who was he supposed to take his complaint to if something happened at school? teacher, principal, security, somebody?
Oh, we, this is Tamika speaking. This is Tamika. I don't know. I think that's what some of the complaints were about.
Wow. Okay. So the children didn't feel very protected. And I understand that there were children who actually brought guns to school because they didn't feel protected. And they felt like that was the only way they would protect themselves if something happened. Mm-hmm. Was it, have you all heard that?
Yes. This is Lisa. Yes. I didn't kind of, I really didn't want to throw that out there, but yes. You know, they failed to mention that when the school did went on lockdown after the incident occurred, that they found, you know, multiple guns in lockers and, you know, but, you know, they left that part out. So, you know, Tim just happened to, you know, use his in self-defense, you know, because, you know, he was protecting himself. But, yes, there was several weapons, you know, in that school that they did not mention. And, you know, of course, they're not going to mention that. So, you know, so once again, you know, the school just overlooked some stuff. And not only Tim, we believe, that was probably, you know, was protecting himself, other kids, at, you know, was also, because, once again, it was guns still in the school after the lockdown. So, and those are facts.
So is Mansfield ISD partly responsible for what happened?
My opinion, this is Lisa. I would say yes. Because if you are getting complaints and if you are getting reports from parents, you know, if you're not doing nothing about it, even when, you know, the teacher mentioned about, you know, referrals that they had to fill out, you know, one of the teachers, you know, that the defense team had, you know, got up there when they was inquiring about that, you know, the prosecution got that knocked out, you know. So they didn't want to speak on that, because if they would have spoke on the real issue, and, you know, behind, I'm just going to mention him because, you know, that, then it would open up a whole can of worms. So, but instead, you know, they want to portray Tim as if he was this bad kid, this big drug dealer, and that wasn't the case. So they flipped the narrative to try to persuade, you know, the world and the viewers as if he was somebody else, other than who he really is.
Okay. So we understand.
He's a very, you know, humble kid. So.
Okay. So we understand that there was a whole lot of stuff that went down in about a two-week span before the actual incident. So we understand that there was a car break-in and I think some things were stolen from his car. Was that the first incident, or what was the first incident that started this, leading up to this?
Okay, this is Lisa. I want to say that was the first incident, because when someone broke in the car, and he was at the school, and a police report was made, and he had to go to he had to call, you know, the driver license place, because he had to get him another license, because I want to say they took his wallet. But I know he had to get, you know, new license, and it was reported.
Okay, so that's the first thing. So his car is broken into on the campus of the school. Correct?
I'm sorry?
His car was broken into at school.
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Okay, and so then what was the second incident that happened?
Besides of the racetrack incident, it was some things that was going on in between some things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't just put it in order, because it would just...
Okay.
You know, but
Trina can answer
that. Yes.
Okay. Is Trina on the line? Let me see. Is Trita the 682 number? Because that's not the number I had for her. 682-552, is that Trina? Okay, I don't believe Trina's on the line.
Hold on.
I don't think she is.
Okay. So no, Liz, then we don't, because we know Trina's got a lot going on, we get that. Tell us the best you remember. So we know that the car was broken into, and then we know there was a situation at the gas station. So the gas station is what we saw all over the news with him being suicide. So is that the order?
I'm sorry. The gas station I don't know if it was on the news or not, because it never was a reporting on the situation of the gas station. The media the kids probably in the school that knew what happened because of the brothers was bragging about the pistol whipping. Mm-hmm. That's how that occurred. Before police and stuff coming out, that never occurred. So they it never occurred. So of course, once again, the process, the DA made it look like that was the case, but there was no reporting of that.
Oh, let me clarify,
Before the breaking into the car incident, it was a few things happened throughout the summer of the guys, the group of boys. Mm-hmm. It started during the summer when he first got the car. Okay?
Okay.
So, and I don't know why the car is such a big deal or whatever, but it started when he first got the car. And, I guess kids do that. They switch up on you, things change, and I have no clue. But when it started, Trina, which is Tim's mother, she immediately got a hold to the situation, and she called the young boys on Instagram. Now, they wouldn't let us speak of this before, in the early of the testimony. We didn't get to say it till he was already convicted. But Trina called about bothering him and picking at him before the incident ever took place, during the summertime before school started, to get everything resolved and on the up and up. One of the young men assured Trina that, it ain't nothing, it ain't nothing, it ain't nothing. And so Trina was like, okay. Well, shortly after, they start picking and making fun of him about his mama called, da-da-da-da-da. That's what Trina actually testified. So even after she talked to them during the summertime, it's like it kept going. So it obviously didn't die down from the summer. I just wanted to throw that in there that a parent did make contact to get this resolved in the beginning.
Okay, so Trina actually reached out to the boys that were bullying him and tried to say, hey, let's squash this. Okay. So instead of them squashing it, you're saying then they start picking at him even more and saying, your mama called.
It continued.
Okay, continue. Okay, let me clarify what I was meaning about the gas station all over the news leading up to the trial, and that's in the middle of the trial is when that evidence came out, and toward the end, that's when that image starts showing up on the news, and they kept showing it, looping it, like the media does. And so that's when we start seeing that. After it was presented in court, then we start seeing it all over the news. So that's what I meant by that, not before. So I'm going to understand Tamika to say, because I saw something Tamika posted online. So Tamika, if you could tell us about the day in which Zach drove to the gas station with the young man in the car and what happened after that.
As far as the gas station incident, Tim had a passenger in the car with him, a friend in the car with him, and he pulls into the gas station. And when he pulls into the gas station, SUV pulls up on the left side of him. you see someone getting out the SUV and jumps in the back of the car, jumps in the back of Tim's car on the driver's side, and you immediately see the person that was in the passenger side with Tim jump out the car and take off running.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And
mm-hmm.
they stay, which that was Zach's brother.
So that's Isaiah. That's Isaiah that jumped in the, that was Isaiah.
To
okay.
my understanding,
okay.
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He is in the back. Tim is in the driver's seat. He's in the back seat, and he's pistol whooping, beating him upside the head with a gun at the time, right? So he is robbing him, to my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And on the camera, you see that they're sitting in a car. You can see something is going on in that car for minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the person gets out the back seat, and they go back and gets in the SUV and prepares and get ready to drive off. And you see Timothy exiting the car, and he immediately starts shooting at the person that got out his back seat and driving off into this SUV.
Mm. Wow. So we saw that. We saw the news, like I said, kept looking at. So
mm-hmm.
so this is the first time that he's been physically assaulted by them. With that, at the gas station incident. Is that correct?
That I can't answer. I can't answer if that was the first time that it was an actual physical altercation. That'll be a Trina question.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be a Trina question.
Okay. And Ms. Trina, I wish you would get on the phone line. But anyway, and I understand her situation. I do understand. Okay, so, yeah I completely understand. Okay, so we saw that.
I mean, because I would say that'll be a Trina question because during that summertime, I don't know what I'll transfer for when Trina actually called. You see what I'm saying? So that'll definitely be a Trina question as far as did they have any physical fight during the summertime or anything like that. I don't know.
I understand. So we understand that after that, Timothy had knots on his head and bruises from the incident at the gas station. So it wasn't just like, you know, boom, boom, boom. Obviously, it got pretty intense if someone is pistol whipping somebody in, you know, in a closed environment like that. I can imagine it got pretty intense. So, Timothy did not call the police after the gas station, right?
No.
This is Lisa. That would be a Trina question.
Okay, guys. Yeah. Okay, I understand. Okay, we're moving on. So in the trial, they brought up the fact that he Googled something about, you know, was there anybody that was shot at the gas station? And they tried to make a big deal of that. Was Timothy doing that because he was going to turn himself in if someone had been harmed? Is that what was going on?
Now, this is Tamika speaking. Now, that's my assumption that he Googling to see, did he know he shot at the gas station. He know he shot at someone that robbed him and pistol whipped him. So I'm sure he was Googling to see, did he harm or hurt anyone? And if he did, I'm sure he would have turned himself in just like he turned himself in after the incident at the school. So, he Googled. That's my opinion. I mean, it did come up in court that he Googled to see was anyone hurt at the gas station.
This is Lisa. So the answer would be no, because there's nothing that was reported. you know, with the situation of the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just piggyback on what, you know, Tamika has said.
Yeah,
the steward didn't call, so.
Okay. Yeah, nobody called. He just Googled to make sure that he didn't have
no one. The steward didn't call the police.
Nobody called.
No,
he
ma'am,
Googled
nobody.
He Googled to try to make sure that he didn't hurt anyone.
So our assumption is, you know, why he Googled to make sure, you know, there was no one hurt or to see if, you know, law enforcement did come out there. So that's why, you know, earlier I said there was no report. So when the, you know, prosecution got up there and got to talking about it, you know, there was no reporting of that. So they.
So, okay. So then let's go to the day of the shooting. So we saw the video, and the video is several, the fight is several, or the beating was several minutes long. So when did you all hear about the shooting, or how did you all hear about the shooting?
I was at home. And I got a phone call. I got a phone call from, you know, family members, and that's kind of how I heard about it. And I was watching it on the news as it unfolded.
Wow. So, it's, and I lost somebody on the line. So, are you? Is this Tamika or Lisa listening to? Is this Lisa?
This is Tamika.
Tamika, okay. Look like I must have lost Lisa some kind of way. If y'all, she'll call back in.
She'll call back in. Yeah.
Okay. So we saw things like, or we heard about things like, the panic button was not, was not working or something to that effect. When the teacher tried to call.
Well. I was there for the – this is Tamika speaking. I was there for the teacher's testimony, all of them. And the main teacher, there was an actual teacher in the classroom. The defense asked her about did they ever – were they taught if something was to go on, were they taught any type of – were they trained on any type of procedures to, you know, what to do if something like that was to happen. And she said that they have a phone to call the office and they have a panic button. And they asked her, did she use the panic button? And she said yes, but the panic button only calls a reception desk at the front office. So it doesn't still call no security station based on a school base or nothing like that. Just calls the office. So therefore, it didn't do too much of nothing, so therefore she just began to yell, and try to run in the hall to get help.
Whoa. So, oh, my God. So she's trying to call for help because something this serious is going on, and the panic button does not go to the security, goes to the receptionist.
Correct.
Okay. I was told that Timothy didn't even want to go to school that day. Is that true? Wow. So, wow. Is there a reason that he went anyway? Okay, I'm going to open Lisa's line back up. Is there a reason he went anyway against his better judgment? If you don't know, it's okay. Is it other than?
Yeah, he was told to go to school.
Okay.
He was told to go to school.
Gotcha. So, because I'm trying to wrap my mind around this whole day and how it went haywire. It's been told in different places online that it was in the wind that Timothy was going to get jumped that day. So did Timothy know that, you know, from rumors that he was going to get jumped that day? Or did
this
you speculate?
That's kind of hard to
if you don't know, you answer. Yeah, okay. because I guess if he felt like he did, when he did come in there, you know, he probably would have, you know, went, you know, what's the word? He probably did.
Okay, he probably did. Because, you know, I mean, if you listen, any question I ask, if you don't know the answer, I understand you don't know the answer.
He didn't know. He knew that it was talks in the works of get back, you know.
Okay.
Get back.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's what.
He knew. He didn't want to go to school. All this stuff that we was talking about, it all happened together. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not like this was 2 months later. All this was in a short period of time. So he didn't want to necessarily go to school, but you know how older people are. That like he was told to go to school. My aunt, not knowing what's going on, he was told to go to school as far as anything happening at the school. So of course, I don't think that he knew that he was going to be like attacked like that, so but he knew that something could possibly go on.
Gotcha. And that's what I've heard.
I want to make this note, and after what is all that was said, it was also told that it was other guys that was outside waiting, I guess, for him, for them to come in and jump, you know, and jump him as well. That you know, that was not spoken of, but yes, and that's probably why the recording, you know, was asked to be recorded, because of, you know, what was going to go down.
Okay, let's go there. So we understand that Zach came to school that day late. The young man came to school late, and as he was coming into the school, he ran into a young lady, I believe, that was coming out of a bathroom, and he said to the young lady, come record this fight that's about to go down. Is that kind of how it went?
That was her testimony, yes.
That was her testimony. Wow. Okay, so then he goes into the classroom, but I understand the school policy is if you're late, you can't just go to a classroom. So can you tell us how the school policy goes over there at Timberview? If you show up to school late, what do you have to do?
I understand that you're supposed to go to get a pass to be able to enter the room. If you show up late, you're not supposed to be able to get into the room at all. You're supposed to, the door is supposed to be locked to where you can't get in. And you have to go get a pass and an excuse of why you was late to enter the room. So he didn't have to do that day. He was late. And he asked the teacher could he come in, and she said yeah, and she let him in.
So she let him in. Okay, so I understand when he walked into the room, he kind of immediately went for Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it went. And so according to the video that we've seen, that I've seen, that most people have seen, Timothy never fights back. He kind of balls up and protects his body and his face, and he does not fight back. Is what I saw. So,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm saying too. Mm-hmm.
So I took it that he's not the fighter type. That, you know, everybody's not a fighter. So he was choosing not to fight back, I guess, maybe to hopefully end it quicker. I'm assuming. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, because I don't want to put words in y'all's mouth. I'm just making assumptions here myself. And so the fight goes on, and this is where it gets tricky at. After the fight goes on for several minutes, then there's, according to court testimony, there are three teachers that allege they all broke it up, which I didn't see enough, like, I don't see how they weren't mentioning each other when they say they were breaking it up. But according to my notes, I'm just going to say this, y'all. And listen, I'm not talking about the teachers. I'm talking about the testimony I saw. Okay, so what I understand is that Tamika, you tell us what happened. So tell us what each teacher. There was a Mexican teacher, a female. There was a black teacher, and then there was a white teacher. So can you tell us what their testimonies were? Okay.
The Mexican teacher, she said, I think she's an ex-volleyball coach. I don't quote me on that. But however, the Hispanic teacher, she said she came in and she saw the tussling going on, and she saw Zach stomping Timothy in the head. In her testimony, she said she thought that killed Tim. That's what she said. And she said she felt like she needed to do something the way that he was pounding on his head. So what she did was she ran up and she pushed Zach against the bookcase. She said when she pushed Zach against the bookcase, when she turned around, started to look at Tim, he had a gun in his hand. And then she said somehow when she stepped, she guessed she tripped over Zach, and then she said she immediately hit the floor, and she just covered her head up, right? And so that was her testimony. They also asked her, did she fear Tim? She said no. She was never fearful of Tim. They asked her, did she feel like Tim was trying to hit her or anything? She said no. She said that she was afraid that Zach was going to kill Tim. And that Zach was the aggressor. That was what the Hispanic teacher said, okay? Then the black teacher, he said he came from another room. He came from down the hallway, and he said he saw the same thing. He said he saw Zach stomping on Timothy's head and just wouldn't stop. And he said, so he gets in between them, and he said, when he gets in between them, he grabs Tim. And he said when he grabs Tim and he turns to look back, he said he see Tim pulling a gun from his waist, okay? And that's when he said, he yelled out, he's got a gun. Run, right? And he got the hell on, okay? So, but then... Now, these are all factual testimonies. These are not necessarily my words. These are their testimonies. Now, I might be adding my own lingo to it, but they can go look at this. It's live on YouTube. Then the teacher, the young white male, he said he broke up the fight. He said he comes in and he gets in between them, and he breaks it up, and he said he grabs. He gets in the middle of them too, and then, and he, I guess he touches Tim, or, you know, he's closer to Tim, and he said he saw Tim walk away, walk to his desk, get his backpack, pull a gun out of his backpack, walk back, and then Tim starts shooting. He's the only one of the teachers, of the four teachers, that say that, okay? But he was also the teacher that got shot as during this situation.
So, and you know, I've heard before people can, you know, see an automobile accident and everybody sees something different. But I've never heard people say they saw somebody go get something out of their bag and didn't nobody else see it but them. But I'm not picking on the teacher. I'm just saying that's just very interesting to me that he's the only one that saw him go and retrieve something from his bag.
Yes. And all fairness to the teacher, it was a student that testified, one student that testified similar. He said he started off sleep, though. He said he was asleep. And he said he woke up and the altercation was going on. And he said that he saw Tim go to the backpack. But nobody can say the time frame or nothing like that. It was just a teacher and this one particular student that started off sleep. I'm not for sure, but the three testimonies from the three teachers that, you know, broke with the fight, all of them had pretty much, to me, different stories, but, you know, the three main ones did say that Zachary was the aggressor.
Okay, gotcha. So, I could go so many places there, but I'm not going. So the teacher that you're referring to that said he saw him go to the backpack, that's the teacher we saw in court with the witness impact statement?
Yeah, that had that script at the end. He was the one that read off what did you call it, a witness impact statement? Yeah, that's he's the one that read that off. Yeah, yeah. He was the one that saw him. Okay, the victim impact statement. Yeah, excuse me, my bad. He was the one that saw him walk to the backpack, get it out the backpack, and come back. He saw that. Yes, okay. Yes, ma'am.
So let's talk about, we're going to briefly go over this. So initially they said four people were injured. Can you tell us about the injury?
I don't know about four people.
Somebody else said the four people didn't happen.
Oh, that was supposed to have been a lie. Yeah, that was supposed to have been a lie. Then something about somebody was pregnant, that was false. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of stuff that was just kind of being put out in the media is just not accurate. Zachary Zakeo was shot. The white male teacher, he was shot once in the back, to my understanding. And then it was another victim that received debris. I guess she was grazed or something like that. Mm-hmm. But to my understanding, she had a, you know, ice pack, not to try to minimize her her pain or anything like that. But, yeah, she was supposed to have been grazed or ricocheted or something like that. But she was taken care of with the ice pack or something. I don't think that she received any hospital treatment or not. So when they say three people were shot or four people were shot, the numbers are, you know, off. Two people got shot directly, to my understanding. And this is Tamika speaking. Yeah, so two people got shot directly, to my understanding.
And did the teacher, the white teacher, get shot in the chest, as it appears to be what they were saying in court, or where did he get shot at?
Saying he was shot in the back area. A lot of people like to say that he was shot in the heart or near the heart, because that's all they hear, sound bites, and that's all they hear. But to my understanding, he was shot in the back near an artery that is connected to your heart.
Hmm. So in court, when they tell about the bullet being an inch from this, that, and the other, it wasn't that he was shot at from the front. He was shot from the back.
Unless I wasn't listening there, I didn't. If I'm correct on this, I think it was shot in the back. I think he was. Definitely shot in the back, because he did testify that he didn't even know he was shot.
Yes, he testified that he didn't even know he was shot, and that when he got to the stairway, he did, you know, sit down when he got into clear, and he felt like a sharp pain, and that's when he put his hand, I think, I don't want to say if he said on the side, because he had to put his hand somewhere on the side for him to look at his hand and saw that he had blood.
Mm-hmm. And y'all, I'm not minimizing the teacher's statement at all. That's not what we're doing. But
we're not either.
And they're not either.
You know, they talking,
I think
about
what we're
the
talking,
heart.
Yeah.
You know, they talking about the heart and stuff. So, but I don't know. I mean, that's puzzling.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't want to minimize. This is Tamika speaking. I don't want to minimize his statement, because, you know,
I ain't been shot, and I wouldn't want to be shot before either. But so his pain is his pain. But clarify, you know, some of the headlines of him being shot in the heart, or you know, all that type of stuff. And it's unfortunate, you know what I'm saying? Because like you ain't trying to downplay his situation. You just trying to, you know what I'm saying, state like facts per se. You know what I'm saying? So he was shot at the end of the day. He was shot. Was it the fourth person? No. The third person, to my understanding, was grazed or received some type of debris. And, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong for that, but that's, I think I'm pretty much almost accurate on the third person was grazed.
Okay. And I think what I'm trying to say, and I think they're trying to say as well, is that what we heard in court was not always 100% factual, or the way that it was presented made it look one way when actually it may have been another way. Is that what y'all are saying as well?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, because it threw us when you got teachers all saying kind of different stories, you know what I'm saying? But the fact remained the same. Some shots were fired. But you do got different teachers saying they once he pulled from the waist and he went around and got it from a backpack. It's, you know, but either way it go, he shot.
I agree. So let's talk about the initial charges. So, you know, of course, it made the news. It was all over the news that first day, this, that, and the other. And so Timothy's charged. What was he initially charged with?
Assault with a deadly weapon.
Assault with a deadly weapon. So
three counts of assault with a deadly weapon. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So y'all pay attention. Remember that. We're going to put a pin right there. That's what the original charges were. And so after that, you know, it was all over the news for a while. And so we understand that the family then began to get threats. Is that true?
I couldn't understand what you said. What did you say?
I said after it was all over the news and, you know, it was something everybody was talking about, we understand that the family began to get threatened. Is that true?
Okay. This Lisa, which family?
The Simpkins family. I'm sorry, Timothy's family. Tim and his family began to get threats from someone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get some angry people, you know, out there that just don't know the real situation, because when you just start talking school shooter, you know, and not knowing what, you know, what's really the logic, you know, what really happened. So, yes, you're going to get some type of, you know, threat because, you know, I think someone, you know, posted my mom's address and it got a hold to Arlington police and they did come, you know, contact her and came out. So because at that point they was, you know, was making sure that, you know, no one, you know, comes to her home, you know, so.
Gotcha. So, you know, we heard a lot of rumors. We heard the grandmother was threatened, the mother was threatened, the friend was threatened. So we heard, you know, everything we heard, y'all, may not be true. That's what the purpose of this show is tonight, to get to what the truth was. So we understand that those initial charges stood until March of 2023, and then the charges were upgraded. So what switched from the initial charges to the upgrade? Why was there an upgrade?
Okay. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Okay, y'all.
Okay,
y'all.
This is Tamika. That's what we're trying to figure out. Why was it an upgrade of choice for the full 2 years or so that this is going on? Why did they upgrade the charges to attempted capital murder?
Whoa. Attempted capital murder. So how surprised were y'all when y'all got the news that the charges had been upgraded and nothing had changed? Did they get new? Well, let me take that back. Did something? Did they get some new evidence or something for them to upgrade the charges? Well, I guess I'm making assumptions here. Did they get some new information?
It's so much that went on in a short period of time. I can't remember if I think they came with a bull crap plea is what it was. And it was a plea that they asked. And the family didn't accept the plea.
So the family didn't accept the plea.
And then that's when I heard about the attempted capital murder.
Okay, let's go there. So and we don't have to go into the full details of the plea, but understand the front part of the plea was, we want you to admit that you went to the school with the intent to shoot up the school.
They wanted him to plead that he woke up that morning and he decided to go to school to kill three people. That's what they wanted that boy to plead.
Wow.
Who does that?
Wow. Because that was never his intention. They wanted him to look like it was going to be a mass school shooting. Right.
Yeah. That's when we knew that this case wasn't about him. He didn't get to fight his own case. That's when we knew this is some political bull crap. Why would you even ask anybody to plea out that I plan to go to school to shoot three people?
Wow. So I didn't know pleas went that way. I thought a plea deal, I'm going to show you the naivety of me. I didn't know plea deal went like that.
It was a time frame on that. Yeah, it was a time frame connected to it. But once you hear the first thing, who would take it if that's not true?
Yeah. Because that's gonna follow you the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't a time on her. They did offer some time with it, but it's a lie on top of it. That's not right.
See, because I'm going to tell you how naive I was, y'all. I thought a plea meant that they'll just come to you and say, you know what, we'll offer you 45 years or we'll offer you 60 years, you know, and either you take it or you don't. I didn't know that it came with them giving you the statement that you got to make that says, I didn't know that. So.
Well, that's what I was told. I was told that that's what the plea was, that he will be agreeing to that he planned on shooting three people that day. That's what he will be agreeing to with that plea, and then they had a time frame on there as well. But to my understanding, his mama said no. But let that be a Trina question. When you ask Trina, or when you do get to talk to Trina, she can confirm or deny.
And I'm going to give Miss Trina a break tonight. I talked to her for quite a while today, and I know she's going to want. Yeah, so I'm good. So let's talk about the trial. The trial was mind-blowing to me, to be honest with you, on so many levels. But let's talk about the fact that they would not allow the bullying to be admitted in to evidence. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, the defense team that Trina hired, she hired them. The defense team was trying to. I had to say that because I'm hearing different stories about they was not hired. They was not hired. The defense team, they tried to present certain things within the case in the beginning of the case. They tried to present certain things in proof of bullying. Even some of the images that they were able to present after he was found guilty, they was trying to present that type of stuff before to prove the bullying, and they were denied. The judge denied them. So a lot of people just got to only see one side. and they thinking, oh, she had a horrible defense team. That's what some of the people thinking. No, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff was denied being shown because mm-hmm. they wanted to keep the narrative focused. If people pay attention, Zachary wasn't even there. This supposed to be about Zachary, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He wasn't there.
Do we know why he wasn't there?
The DA and the prosecutor wanted to focus on what they wanted to focus. They wanted to make Tim, to paint him as a drug dealer, someone that they didn't have nothing, no evidence of any drug situations going on at all. This is just a narrative that they want to implant into the jury's head, okay? And so the evidence that the defense team had, a lot of it was just rejected. They didn't want to hear the word bullying at all because I guess black people can't be bullied, you know? They didn't want that type of stuff could not enter the beginning of the trial at all. I never seen nothing like it before in my life. It happened. We all watched it happen. This wasn't about Zach. Zach wasn't there. Them folks don't care about Zach either. They didn't even want Zach to testify. I don't know. I guess he got a history of doing things. But they didn't even want. They just want that the teacher that got shot. This who that was about. They wanted him to testify, and he was the only victim besides the young girl that got grazed or whatever. But Zach wasn't there to testify. They didn't want Zach to testify, and again, like I said, the information, like if people that really did watch the trial, the gas station stuff, that stuff was not presented at the beginning of the trial. Mm-hmm. None of that was presented at the beginning. They only presented that after the jury found him guilty. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why the other stuff got to slip in, because now, okay, we got him guilty. Now we can let some of this stuff slide through the pre-sentences, but he still wanted to give him life. So, no, none of that could be presented in the beginning of the trial. A lot of stuff, that the bullying and stuff and everything that took place prior to that, the jury had no clue. The jury did not know that the mother contacted the school. The jury did not know the mother contacted the actual individuals. The jury did not know any of these. So they didn't have very much to go up on during the sentencing. Not the sentencing phase, excuse me, during the actual trial phase. They didn't have that much to go on in defense of Lil' Tim.
Let me ask you this, because it seems like to me, from watching the trial, you know, you see Tim, and I don't know him, so, you know, I'm going, you know, by what I've seen in the trial or what I've talked to the family in the pre-interview about, but the person that they portrayed him to be in the courtroom, you thought, he doesn't look like that. I mean, they made him out to be some monster. I'm just going to say the picture that they were drawing that I picked up that they're trying to do is that he was some monster who was a big-time drug dealer, shot caller. He had these buttons that he could just pick up the phone, and they would do whatever that he told them to do. That's the way it kind of came off, that they were portraying him. Did it seem that way to you all?
Yes, but it seemed that's what they were trying to portray. But why was there no evidence presented of that? They have no drug transactions, no drugs in the text messages, none of that. Just because he had a nice car and his family got a little change, and they black, that's what they throw up on us since he smoked weed. They didn't have nothing that tied him to marijuana or being this big-time drug dealer. Nothing. If you watch the trial, they talked about some stacks of weed that they found in his sister's house. He didn't live with his sister. What they got to do with him? They didn't find none of that. He ain't never been in trouble before.
So let me ask you. So at the grandmother's house where he lived, they never found any drugs at the grandmother's house? Okay. So the drugs they're talking about is when the DA, Mr. Lloyd, was making a big, big, big deal about the sacks of weed, that was at his sister's house, to be clear.
Yeah, that was at his sister's house. That was her own personal weed.
That was her own personal weed. And, okay. Yeah, they was just they were trying to drive it home hard that he was a drug man on campus and that he was a shot caller, you know, the picture that I was picking up. He's a shot caller. He could just call his buddies and they would just do whatever.
But they're trying to drive it home with that. But then no teachers testified that he ain't never got caught at school with no weed. He ain't never been in trouble by no school with no weed. Ain't no teachers testify that. What was the disciplinary shit at? I mean, excuse me. What was that at? Nobody said that. But those were the words that they try to embed it. Those are the words that they try to embed into the jury's head. Nobody never said that. And I just hate that our people just take that stuff and just run with it. Ain't nobody said that. And the image, they show one image of him in his car, and they was acting like the car was just this. Trina had to tell him it was a used car. Like, I don't know what this is. Like, black people can't have a car. But he had a picture sitting in the car and him showing off his shoes. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and this is Tamika speaking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, a TikTok investigator, blew this image up. And in the car, it showed it looked like a little mason jar, and it looked like something else on the side. Somebody blew this image up. This is an image they got off the media, social media. Mm-hmm. And they made the assumption that there was a gun and some weed in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And they just rolled that out. Like he this guy showing off this gun. He ain't got no pictures holding no gun showing off on social media. He didn't even do social media like that. So nobody can say that he got any pictures on social media holding and pointing guns. He didn't. So they zoomed in on the side of his car and making the assumption of that's what that is. And the DA didn't do that. Somebody made that on social media. But that's all they got. That's all they got. And if that was, let's just say that was a gun, and that was weed, he wasn't showing it off in that image. He was showing his shoes off because he sold shoes. You see what I'm saying? But they didn't want to talk about that type of thing. But that's the only thing that he had out there on social media, period. And that's the only thing that they could show. But they had tons of pictures of Zachary and his family. I mean, not family, but him with guns and all this stuff going on. But they didn't want none of that shown. Text messages and all type of stuff. But see, they didn't want none of that shown because this wasn't about Zach.
That's interesting. So, and they also tried to, in my opinion, make Timothy look like he was some crazy person who, you know, came to school with, you know, the intent to harm people. You know, from me watching him testify, he didn't look crazy to me. But it looked like they were trying to make him, he was crazy.
But if people just look at with their own eyes, if they pay attention, if they really care, he didn't attack nobody in the classroom. He was sitting down when the boy came in the classroom. So now this Tamika speaking. This is my opinion. For folks, people get to attacking everybody. This ain't Trina. This ain't Lisa speaking. This is Tamika. Think about it. Tim had the gun on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Zach knocked on the door and asked the teacher, could he come in? When he walked in that room, if Tim had killing him on his mind, couldn't he have stood up and just shot him right then?
Yeah.
Did he have to take that ass whooping? He didn't have to take that. He could have just said, when he saw that boy knocking on the door and the boy stepped in that room, he had it on him. So if he wanted to kill him, he could have busted him right then. Am I right or wrong?
That's true. When the prosecutor Salinas then stands up in the courtroom and points at Zach and says he's a killer, what were y'all thinking when she's saying that?
Oh, we had checked out by then. We knew it was some bullshit when, you know what I'm saying, we had pretty, as family, we kind of like,
we knew
checked out
it
by then.
Wasn't
we knew,
right.
We, Yeah, we knew this. We knew it wasn't right.
We knew it wasn't right. And yeah. and for the judge to even allow her to say that, you know, to the juror in her closing statement
yeah.
that he was a cold blood killer, why would you mm-hmm. allow her to say that when he didn't kill no one?
Mm.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't understand that one. Because I thought, especially being the prosecution, they couldn't, you know, just, I mean, to me, it's one thing to imply someone could have been or suggest they were going down the road to be, but to say they were a killer would imply they had killed somebody. And I didn't understand why that was allowed into evidence or that statement was allowed to be made.
He let them get away with a lot and wouldn't let a lot be presented on the defense end. So it was kind of like if you was there, you could have, you know, you could kind of see that the judge and the DA got a connection. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like you just mm-hmm. have to just call it for what it is. You know what I'm saying? But the people in our community need to know this. They weren't fighting for Zach. Nah, they don't care about Zach or Tim. Not none of them.
And let me say this because I was accused this week of not showing balance in the reporting of this story. If you pay attention, CNN, NBC, ABC, they're all talking about Timothy Simpkins this week. And so if I'm talking about Timothy Simpkins, it's a fair story to tell, you know, because first of all, this is the first time the family has done an interview. So they're mm-hmm. talking about what they know. And so that's what we're talking about. So anyone who says, well, but, you know, that's not fair reporting or balance, it's not balanced reporting, mm-hmm. that's what everybody else is reporting on this way.
But this is the thing mm-hmm. about, this is the thing about Tim's family. You see what I'm saying? I'm Tim's family. We never mm-hmm. condoned Tim bringing a gun to school. Let that be known right now. We ain't condoned mm-hmm. Tim bringing no gun to school. We ain't mm-hmm. sitting here saying that Tim should walk away scot-free. I don't know where these mm-hmm. people is getting at. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We just mm-hmm. ask for due process. We ask mm-hmm. for a fair trial. We ask mm-hmm. for the crime to match the punishment, like mm-hmm. it does for others. You see what I'm mm-hmm. saying? This is a Tarrant County situation right now that we fighting against. We ask it for the crime to match the punishment. The punishment to match the crime. That's what we're asking. We weren't asking. Life should have never been on the table. It shouldn't have never been on the table.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk,
if you look
let's
at
talk
the
about
law
this.
And what capital murder is, and you look at what a capital attempted murder is, this is not none of that. So why was life on the table for a first-time offense? Guys that just turned... He had 2 days before the incident, he had just turned 18. Never been in trouble. You got evidence that he'd been in the Christian school forever. He done stepped into a different environment. If this was a white young man, look so much different. The mm-hmm. outcome would have been so, they don't have compassion for, and then they was talking about him smoking weed. You know what I'm saying? He was self-medicating.
Mm-hmm.
He had anxiety. Okay. He got PTSD. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the things. But we mm-hmm. as black people, we can't struggle with mental. We can't struggle with problems. We use the word mm-hmm. hate and jealousy instead of bullying. But it's the same fucking thing. Being bullied is being bullied. But so we couldn't use the word bullying. Because in our community, we don't use the word bullying a lot. We might be saying they picking on you, they hating on you, and this type of thing. So that they took that, and that type of stuff is not allowed for us to say in court. We can't be fearful. We always got to be strong. So they were shooting his stuff down.
And then, let's not add, obviously, we not allowed to have a nice car.
Boy.
Yeah.
So he was. Feel like he was envied because he had nice things.
Well, it's not even only. We definitely know that was a big part of it that he had nice things. But you got to think about this too. It ain't just because he got nice things. Just think about it. Mm-hmm. When you new to a new area, even though he lived in the area, he's from a private school. You coming to mm-hmm. a new school, no friends, wearing J's, driving Charger. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Oh, kids looking at them sideways. Who that? Girls looking at them. Who is that? Niggas looking at them. Mm-hmm. Who is that? Come on, let's just mm-hmm. be 100. He came out of nowhere because he came from a Christian school.
He didn't
necessarily grow up with these boys. He wasn't in the streets with these boys. So it's like mm-hmm. it's gonna be a lot going on with that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a different environment.
Let's clarify something you said. Two things you said so that we're clear. The prosecution tried or appeared to try to make him out to be some crazy person who came to school to kill three people, you say. That said, you just said he suffered from PTSD. So, you know, a lot of people say that's a form of mental illness. But that said, the two had nothing to do with each other. His PTSD had no factor in him wanting to come to school and do anything to anyone. Is that correct? So we're separating the two things. What the prosecution painted as a person who wanted to come to school to shoot up the school because they were deranged or crazy, that's not what mm-hmm. Timothy was. Timothy, you're saying, is someone who suffered from PTSD as a result mm-hmm. of traumatic experiences he had, correct?
Yes, I'm talking about at the incident, the incident as well. Before he just, this is my personal opinion, you know, he was still struggling with grieving and anxiety and stuff that he was going through from the deaths and other experiences. But, I can't really speak for Tim per se. That would be something that, you know, conversation that he done had with his mother. But, he definitely didn't go to school to attack anyone, as you know. You can obviously look at the video and tell that that wasn't on his mind.
And you know, another thing that was brought up in trial quite a bit was they made him, you know, as Selena, the prosecutor Selena said, he's a cold-hearted killer. Can you speak to the fact of, you know, they tried to make him out not to be remorseful for what happened? I hate to believe that would be true. Has Timothy shown remorse mm-hmm. about what happened in all of that since it happened?
Yeah, his mother had to get the prosecution together because they showed the jury a picture after he bonded out. They showed a picture of him taken with his cousins and saying that he was smiling when he got out. And so mm-hmm. Trina testified when she said that he was smiling. Trina said that's just the picture that his cousins posted on social media. They told him to smile and he smiled. But Trina said y'all didn't see the picture of him boo-hooing and crying and falling out. Okay. But yeah, Trina had they showed up video of him at the end when he came home. He was crying. You know what I'm saying? So people going to put the images out there that they want to put out there. But he did not, he is remorseful. Like, he said what he said on the stand. Nobody wants to, I can't say nobody, but I definitely don't think that he wanted to hurt anyone, especially the teachers, especially the girl that was Grace. Now, can I speak for him as if, you know, the situation between him and Zachary, you will have to ask him. But in my book, for every action, there is a reaction. You understand? Mm-hmm. For every action, there's a reaction. And it seems like the actions that Zachary took in dwelling on him and beating on him, you know, he snapped. It seemed like he snapped. You know what I'm saying? And I can't say that after the stomping on his head, nobody can say if they had a gun on them and somebody just stomping and beating on your head, nobody can say what they would have did until it happened to them. They was talking about he had enough time to think. He had enough time to think to not shoot him. When you're fighting, I used to fight in my day. When you fight, your adrenaline is rushing so much. And all you know, if you know somebody just throwing and tossing you around, You know what I'm saying? You really just trying to get on your feet, if possible. But they was trying to, they figured that, you know, he had enough time to make the decision not to do it, but you not to shoot. But like I said, for every action, it is a reaction. It was just, it's unfortunate to me on both ends. But nobody can say what would have happened if that was them. I can say this. There was a wrong place to bring a gun.
Right.
There was the wrong place to bring a gun. But we can all be honest. If that didn't take place at a school, that would have been self-defense.
Right.
If that didn't take place at a school and somebody was wailing and stomping and beating on you and attacking you brutally, and that would have happened?
I agree. You said on the social media post that fear can make people do some things that normally they wouldn't do. So do you believe that at the moment in which Tim, you know, pulled his gun and shot, he was having that fear factor where he felt like he had to do what he had to do at that moment?
Oh, most definitely. Almost definitely. Fear, you know, fear makes a lot of people do things that they're not prepared for. Some people freeze up. They think they can run and freeze. Some people act fast, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people can't think fast when they're scared. And then some people fear for their life. They fear for their life, and they do whatever they can do to get up out of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
A scared motherfucker will kill you. I say it all the time. My mama raised me up off of that. Tamika, don't pick at people. Don't bully people. Don't steal from people. Don't touch people's shit. Don't keep your hands off people. You understand what I'm saying? That's what you are taught at a very, keep your hands to yourself. Keep picking at somebody that's scary. A scary person would kill you. A person that ain't bothering you would kill you. Leave folks alone. I can't really say what was in Tim's head. I can't speak for him. I'm just speaking for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm scary. I'm very observant. I'm very paranoid. And if I see you move funny, ain't no telling. You see what I'm saying? So just leave people alone.
You know,
and
Go ahead. You said earlier that you thought the trial was not about Zach Selby. So was it about a political statement? Was this trial political?
I believe so because of the gun laws.
I'm gonna tell you this. I think the gun laws put a. I know that they put a lot of pressure, on them with the gun laws. Because in the beginning, when it first happened, that's what a lot of people were saying. The gun laws. So Texas have an issue with the whole gun law situation. As over time of doing the research on that particular county and that particular prosecutor is known for what he did, okay?
Yeah.
That particular prosecutor, you know, if you start doing a little research, it's what he do. He makes sure that young black people, if he can get them life, that's what he going to do. That's why I'm telling people, this can be your child. This can be your brother. This can be your uncle, your cousin. Pay attention to this trial. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got something else going on over there in Tarrant County. It definitely seems racial when you start looking at the cases. And you start looking at the time that they're giving blacks and minorities versus white people. And I'm not from that area. But when you pay attention and you Google, he proud to give young black boys life. He proud of this. You know what I'm saying? I had one white man inbox me, and we talked, and the white man said that this this a white man saying that this particular DA, he basically used the courtroom as his burning cross for black people. And if you start looking and paying attention to them cases, you think, well, damn, that is right. So we are happy that he did not receive life. So 12 years is good compared to what he was trying to give him life. So 12 years is good versus that. But at the same time, did he receive due process? You know what I'm saying?
Let's talk about the judge. What were your thoughts on the judge? Any thoughts?
To my understanding, like I said, I'm not from down there. To my understanding, the judge is new, and I observe a lot. So when I was in the courtroom observing, they definitely seen the judge and the DA seems very familiar with one another, okay? And as I'm observing and paying attention, it was starting to make me feel like, okay, so this is why he keep denying her.
He was controlled.
He
seemed like he was controlled.
Yeah. If you go, you can pay attention and look at the, I watch body movement a lot. And so when you in the courtroom watching how he, you know, smirk and smile at the, you know, they got a relationship. Something was there for them. They got a spark, honey. Not that type of relationship, but they definitely got a friendship.
Oh, wow. You know, we did a little research on that DA, too, the male DA, and his last name escapes me, and I don't know why. His first name is Lloyd. He's out of Paris, Texas, and if anybody knows Paris, Texas, y'all know where this is going. But he prosecuted a case in Paris where a man killed his daughter's boyfriend, and in cold blood, and he gave him probation. And then we know of a hit-and-run case here that happened at Interstate 30 and Beach where two men had been drinking at a bar coming down the freeway, and a lady was on the shoulder. The driver hit her, and the impact was so bad that it knocked the roof off of his truck, and he went home. And they went to his house the next morning, and he was still drunk, and they gave him probation. And then we know about Ethan of the same DA. And then we know the case of Ethan Couch, who was the affluenza kid who was prosecuted here in Tarrant County. This is the same DA. And he gave Mr. Couch probation after four people were killed and nine were injured. So it does seem like something's going on because no one was killed in this particular case. Yeah.
That was my whole thing that people need to pay attention. People need to wake up, you know. the people of Tarrant County, the minorities and the blacks, they need to wake up because it's definitely something brewing in that particular county. I mean, the facts are all laid out of this man's history. Of him letting people of his race off and making sure the opposite race gets the book. You hear me? So that's really all we care about. We are happy that in Tim's situation, no one passed away, no one died. It's unfortunate that this even happening. I really hate that we hear, but it happened, so we have to face it. And we just want the punishment to fit the crime and all that to fit. We just want everything to be able to be tied in together. And that's pretty much it.
One thing that surprised me was the amount of time that they spent on those text messages, going backwards and forwards. What does this mean? What does that mean? What you think this means? What you think? But at the same time, the diss song was never entered into evidence. The there was a diss song that was done about Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
They never allowed it in evidence?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, they wouldn't allow that.
Anything pertaining to what Zach was doing, and to be honest, he's still out there on social media, you know, saying crazy stuff, you know, I stump your head, and, you know, so to me, you have not been, you know, impacted about what has happened to you. You know, you still bullying. It's like it hasn't stopped with him, apparently.
Yeah.
So, and, you know.
No, it's still going. Even during the court process, Zach ended up being contempt of court, which the DA was completely fine with that because they didn't want him to testify, no way. So he ended up being contempt of court. They say he was threatening the witness,
and all the judge did when he came was talk to him. He didn't lock him up. He didn't do nothing. He just gave him a warning.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like the whole time that, you know, they didn't want to touch Zach because they knew that the world, the media will, you know, it will blow the prosecutor case up. And then now everyone will realize, okay, wait a minute, it's more to this. Then, you know, when Ms. Lisa got up there, she warned them, hey, do not let the prosecutor fool you. Don't be fooled by the state.
Yep.
She said the state.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, close to the end, when Timothy did get up there and testify, that's how they was able to bring that picture out with Zach and his brother posted up on Instagram with guns stating, we hooked up with you for 2 minutes. The jury was aware of that.
And that's when the jury was like, basically, why this wasn't in the beginning of the trial before we said that he was guilty. But they let it enter on the sentencing phase, but they wouldn't let it. The jury know that this stuff was going on beforehand. So that's why the sentence is, because people keep saying, 12 years, they were shooting for life. But the jury did not see a lot of this evidence before they even said he was guilty. They deliberated for hours because a few of them was hung because they wanted more. They kept thinking that it had to be more than what they saying. But they couldn't, they wouldn't let none of that evidence be presented. So, you know,
and the defense also had other witnesses, you know, students, but they didn't want to allow to go up there and testify their inquiry dealing with Zach. They didn't want that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So there were people who were willing to testify that were never called.
Correct. Yes.
Oh, wow. Do y'all think, I don't know legal stuff, y'all, so forgive me, but I know that there's, like, things that, you know, can come up, and people have talked about, well, you know, he can go back and appeal and this, that, and the other, but I've also heard that in an appeal, if, you know, that it could go the other way, and he could end up getting more time. So is it a gamble then going and appealing this sentence?
We don't. I can't answer that.
You know, I answer that. This is Lisa. No, because we feel like he's been, you know, convicted wrong on the charge. And like Tamika said, you know, it doesn't
committed the crime. So we don't know at this moment, you know, whether there's going to be an appeal, but, you know, we do feel that, you know, it was a wrong.
Well, let's talk about that. So if it was an appeal, do you feel like that with all the evidence presented that should have been presented, do you think a new jury will see it a different way?
If all the evidence that was presented, that could have been presented, I think that it could have went in a different way. Yeah, I think capital murder, attempted capital murder, would never been on the docket. I don't think that at all. I think it would be what it's been. It would have been assault with a deadly weapon, or it could have been a battery one as well. You know what I'm saying? It was a few other options instead of attempted capital. They never even charged him for bringing a gun on the campus.
So let's talk about that verdict. When the verdict came in, I understand that there were some white people in the court that actually applauded the verdict, and the judge did not. You know, he almost, you know, basically was silent or was silent and did not condemn them for doing that. Did that really happen?
This is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to, if you take yourself outside the situation.
Mm-hmm.
The picture that they painted, if you believe in a justice system. If you believe in the justice system and the picture that they painted, they'll have you fooled. They'll have you fooled. So to the ones that did applaud, that's because they don't know the details. You understand what I'm saying? So that is what that is at the end of the day. But I don't know if they was clapping for the judge's verdict or they was clapping because they friend, the teacher that got shot, had a good victim statement that he read off. So I don't know, no shade
on the teacher, but I thought his impact statement was confusing. You know, one sense, since it seemed like he was saying, you know, oh, I hope you get your life together. You know, I reached out to you and I tried to give you a second chance on some class and, you know, you didn't take it. But then he comes back and then he says, you know, but I can't forgive you right now. So I thought it was he had mixed messages even within his statement. Did you all see it the same way?
Oh, yes, most definitely. And who's to say that Timothy was really in his class? Because Timothy never mentioned that he knew the teacher. You know, we were during, you know, and if it was during COVID, you are over the internet. You see what I'm saying? So I think Tim only went there for like 2 years. So that was kind of confusing. Yeah, I mean, like, you saying this and then it's like you contradicting yourself, almost as if you are, you know, you are told to say this.
Just think about it. Why was he the only one that was
right?
Why was he the only one that had a statement? I mean, that statement was long. I mean, that statement did deserve a round of applause. I mean, he had a good statement. I mean, it was like something off a movie. Wasn't
almost
it?
Too perfect.
It was like, it was a good statement.
But why was he
almost the only one? It was like I was watching the movie. That's why I be saying it was like a script, because it was like, I didn't want you to get life, but you know, I don't forgive you. I don't accept your apology. I mean, it was really
dramatic.
So, and I was just thinking, okay, so who next? You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people, right, that was affected, right? He prepared for that for sure, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm not trying to downplay it, but it's sitting there watching this in that courtroom, it is. It was like a movie. It was like a movie, and it's like a movie with a whole nother behind the scenes that nobody really can see. And it's like with the media just taking, like in the beginning, they was talking about a pregnant woman. Just it was a lot of false narratives, like stuff that just was just, that I actually watched this stuff play out. It was it's sad. It's crazy. And I'm witnessed it now. I witnessed this type of stuff happens to people in real life. And like I said, it's an unfortunate situation for everybody. And again, I'm sorry. I don't want to downplay this teacher. I really, really don't. But it just felt like he was reaching for something more, if that makes sense.
Why was he the only one that spoke? I mean, you know, not to say that the others had a chance. Why was he always acknowledged? He was always acknowledged. Yes, they brought up Zach. You know, they brought up Zach's name, but they didn't bring up Zach's name in a way that they kept bringing up the teacher name. You know, the Manili girl.
Why didn't
her
and what
point? And you ain't see her no more. You know, they barely brought up her name. Whether she got raised or not, you know, she still had a little ice pack on her. You see what I'm saying? So
and then why, since they were so there for Zach, why didn't Zach have if Zach couldn't attend, why couldn't somebody write him a script? Why he didn't have no victim statement?
His grandmother was there every day, from my understanding, and they didn't even acknowledge his family. It was all about the teacher.
Something's odd.
And it's my thing. I said, this is Tamika speaking. I don't know Zach's family personally. You know what I'm saying? I feel for his mother because the statement that she did give in the beginning, for Zach to still be acting out, it's mind baffling to me. Like, so I know she has no control over him. If you go on his social media, you could tell that she don't have no control over him right now. And that's a big part of why they didn't want him in that courtroom. Because they didn't want the jury to see the other bullshit. You see what I'm saying? That's why they made it about the teacher, because they don't care about that. They were just trying to get another black boy life. That was the goal, to get another black boy off the street.
Was Zachary ever charged for the fight? Or the beating?
No. And that was another thing. He was a part of the people getting hurt. If he came in the room and did that, him being charged was never on the table. He popped that off. For every action is a reaction. He was responsible for them people just as well as him.
That's a thought. Because, you know, if you go today and you and a friend are going to the store and y'all go in the store and she kills somebody and you're with her, they're going to charge both of you all with murder. That's
exactly
how they do it. Oh, that is interesting. That is very interesting that he never got charged with anything. Oh, wow. Okay. Now let's get down to the last thing, the sentencing. When you all were hearing them in court, and especially Miss Prosecutor Salinas, who, when she kept saying, life, you know, he needs life, give him life. And so when you heard 12 years, what were your thoughts? Because you think 12 years life, 12 years life. And to a lot of people, that seems like, okay, well, that's really light. But you're saying if all the evidence had been presented, you still think it would have been a lot less than 12 years. Or that's what I'm thinking I'm hearing you all say.
This is Lisa. I'm focusing on the charged.
Okay.
because of it being attempted capital murder, you know, mm-hmm. murder, it could have been life, you know. So we're mm-hmm. not saying he don't deserve the 12 years. I think we are more focusing on the charge because it doesn't fit. Because now he going to have to carry that, you know, for the rest of his life, that mm-hmm. that attempted capital murder and not, you know, assault, you know, with, you know, a deadly weapon. So so I can't speak for everyone, but it just me, like, all about that charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 12 years, you know, that's because, you know, Miss Lisa, she was asking, you know, even though she was asking for probation, she did tell them, if you don't find it in your heart for probation, give him the minimum 5. So they gave him, mm-hmm. so they just gave him double what she asked for. So, hey, you know.
We see that Miss Katrina Robinson has joined the conversation. Good evening, Miss Katrina.
Hello.
She's on the line.
Good evening.
Hi. Is there anything you want to add to the conversation tonight?
No, not right now. But I do want to clear something up. When you had asked, okay. was anybody clapping? No, no one was clapping mm-hmm. when they read the verdict.
Okay. That was some misinformation
nope,
that
yeah.
I got from
the- Yeah, no one, yeah. It was really quiet. I'm the one, you know,
okay.
sort of crying and, you know, we're staff. So, but no, no one was in there clapping.
Okay. Can I ask you one question for clarity?
Uh-huh.
You didn't see it. Okay. Let me ask you one question for clarity. Because I saw you on the stand, and I saw them just badgering you.
I'm not going to answer anything.
Okay. Katrina says she ain't after nothing. All right, I'm gonna quit. But I saw I'll make an observation then, y'all. It seemed like she was really stressed, and I can imagine, you know, 2 years, the build up to the trial, and all of that. So I was just wondering what was the feeling, what was the emotion that was going on when she testified. So that was it. But I won't ask you to speak to that, Ms. Katrina. Thank you for just chiming in with what you did. But Katrina, you can speak to it. You said I got some fact wrong about that. What was the fact that I had gotten wrong about when she was on the stand? Is Katrina listening? I'm not Katrina. I'm sorry, Tamika.
Tamika.
Uh-huh. What did you say?
What was that that I had gotten wrong about the fact when I was talking about when Katrina testified? She seemed forgetful. That's what it was. It seemed like on the stand, mm-hmm. it seemed like some of the facts got confusing. What was your statement on that or your thoughts on that?
Oh, she really didn't get confused on the facts. It's just that it was when he questioned her, when she was questioned about her whereabouts. So
mm-hmm.
what it was is they are not from the Dallas area at all. They're from Arkansas. So they left Arkansas during their senior year of high school, and they finished their senior year in 98 in
mm-hmm.
Dallas. She had her first
mm-hmm.
oldest daughter, which is Raven, and after she
mm-hmm.
had her, she commuted mm-hmm. back and forth to Texarkana over the years. So when she got with Tim's daddy, Timothy Moore, at that time,
mm-hmm.
she resided here in Texarkana. So it was just a lot of traveling back and forth because her daughter lived in Dallas. So when she was trying to stumble over her years, that's what the problems was, because she had commuted back and forth for years between Dallas and Arkansas. That's the only hiccup that she had.
and the DA was trying to make it look like she wasn't being truthful.
Yeah. Some people just assume, because when she get nervous, see, she talks really, really fast in real life. And so when she get nervous, she kind of ramble really, really fast. And so she really wasn't even expecting him to even, you know, ask
mm-hmm.
about, you know, her, when she moved there or whatever, because she done moved back and forth several times. So
mm-hmm.
That just kind of threw her off. But she had Timothy, she had him
mm-hmm.
here, and shortly after, she wanted him to grow up in a two-parent household, So she said, we're going back down here with my daddy in Arlington. And that's where Tim was raised. And so Trina have always commuted back and forth because she has business. She has her own business. So she commutes back and forth handling business.
So let's, you know, you brought up the grandfather, which I have not brought up tonight, but I want to very briefly. The grandfather raised Timothy. So when he died, I understand, based on the testimony, that was devastating to Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I can answer that because that's my father. We were all devastated, you know. You know, he was sick. You know, so but he taught Tim a lot, you know, taught Tim and Raven a lot. So, you know, that's who they know besides, you know, their mother and their aunt. You know, my dad, he was a very respectful man, you know. He's a veteran. He's a vet, so... You know, we grew up.
Yes, he ex-military. That's all Tim know. He was always a deacon at the church. He was very active in his community. He still was working with the DA. He still was working with the at the VA. He was very well known. And yes, he had a military background. But far as a father figure, that's who raised him. That's all Tim know. And at the time of this happened, Joyce had only been passed like 2.5 years at the time that this happened. And I'm going to tell you this. I went down, when Joyce passed away, I went to the funeral. And at the funeral, I just knew Tim fell lost. He stood in front of that casket and just jumped and cried. And he was just praying at that funeral. I just knew then, like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, the person that always guided him, he guided him through everything, made the decisions of everything with the family. He was everything to the family. So
he was a pillar.
You know, to some, oh, most definitely. Most definitely. He made sure that they were good while he was on earth, and he made sure they were good when he left. You feeling me? Like, he was that guy. He that man right now to this day. And he that guy. He makes sure his family good. And so he was definitely affected by that. Definitely.
So let me ask the question that, how is Tim tonight? Is he okay? Is he adjusting? Is he going to be all right?
I don't know how he's feeling right now. I think Trina is waiting to, you know, I know she done talked to him, but I think Trina is, you know, holding it in now. So I honestly don't know how he's feeling right now. I just know that we gonna ride it out. I mean, we're gonna do what we got to do and plan and prepare and pray. And so like I said, pray, plan and prepare. You hear me? So however, we gonna do that, and whenever he does.
You said online your family don't fold. So smooth out with that. Tell me about y'all don't fold.
We don't break. We don't fold. When I say that, and it's not to be cocky, it's like sometimes we gonna take this situation, we gonna learn from this situation, and we gonna do what we can to still hold him up. You understand what I'm saying? We're gonna hold him up, we're gonna do this time with him, we're gonna prepare, and we're gonna make sure that he have all the tools and the resources in life when he get out to make sure that he stay on the up and up and clear, you know what I'm saying, have a meaningful life, and be impactful to the community. Like, we're gonna try to right his wrongs. We're gonna try to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, he be somebody. And yeah, we can't let this situation break him. If he got to do that 12, we're going to do that 12. We're going to do it with him. And when he get out, we're going to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, he's somebody. He go to work and he
so
do what he do to work.
He's not
going to
let this situation define him.
Oh, most definitely not. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of why we're doing this interview, like just for people to see this can happen to you. This could happen to any of us, and yeah, we just want them to see his side right now because he really can't speak to the people, and just kind of go from there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, we got to get ready to get out of here. Any final comments before we leave tonight?
I will say this. You know, I mean, what has happened is what has happened. You know, I don't want people to think that, you know, that he is such a horrible, bad guy. He's going to stay in, you know, be in trouble. He's a trouble kid. He's not that kid. You know, he's a very good kid. He's a very humble kid. We just hate that the situation happened to him, you know, when it did. So maybe Timberview can, you know, get their things together in order when it, you know, comes to protecting their students and kids. And, you know, maybe the teacher, you know, maybe when the student is late to class, maybe they would not allow them in the class, you know, without, you know, a slip, you know, or explanation or something. So, but he is not the kid. He's a very good kid. It's just an unfortunate situation. So, you know.
Thank you. Ms. Tamika, you have a final statement?
Babe, I thought I just gave one. I've been talking too much.
Okay, that's fine. And Katrina still's not going to make a final statement to y'all listening. Katrina, I do appreciate you. I do, for coming on tonight. You as well, Ms. Lisa Robinson, and also Tamika Gray. I'm sorry, it's Grady, right? It's not great. It's Grady?
It's Grady.
Great.
It's
great.
So, and my final statement is my final statement could be to people in your community, because you are in Fort Worth,
right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that is Tarrant County.
Right.
Okay. Y'all be careful out there. Y'all be safe. Y'all be careful out there. Y'all pay attention to who y'all voting for, who y'all electing, who was in power. I encourage a lot of minorities to stay out the way of Tarrant County, or y'all need to stand up and do something about what's going on over there, because y'all definitely got something going on. And I encourage people to take from this situation and learn from it, and keep us in your prayers.
Yeah, well, we will do that. Y'all, listen, I thank them so much for making Let's Talk Fort Worth the very first interview they did. Since this trial, we want to thank them so much for stopping by. We really do. We want to thank you, the audience, for listening. Follow us on Facebook, y'all. We're on Facebook under Let's Talk Fort Worth. This is just a small bit of what we do. You can check out the rest over on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We're also going to pick up Twitter later this week. Listen, if you got a product, a service, a nonprofit, a business, or a campaign, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We'll help you get the word out. Also, y'all, listen, we're the hottest talk show we got in Fort Worth. So tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker to check out the show. We keep it fluid every week. We are not telling you old news. We're telling you news right out the press. So definitely tell somebody about the show. Listen, keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we tell you exactly what they're doing downtown. Until next week, good night, y'all.